Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was once greeted by wise men, led by a star to the King of all nations. Dear Christian friends, Epiphany. The word literally means a revealing or a showing. The festival of Epiphany is sometimes even referred to as the Gentile Christmas, because it is the first time that it is revealed to us or shown to us in the pages of God's Word where people who are non-Jews gather in worship of God. Of course, that's a very important event for most of us who are gathered in the pews, people who don't have Jewish blood running through our veins. Because it is the big and important lesson of Epiphany. Jesus is for all people. He has come to save every individual of every race with absolutely no exception. And while that is the major lesson of Epiphany, we would be wrong to think it is the only lesson that we learn as we read through this lesson of God's Word for us tonight. In fact, as we turn down the microscope a little bit and really begin to peer at those wise men who were gathered there before Jesus, we learn a very important lesson about God's church, about the people who occupy it, and therefore, by extension, important lessons about every single one of us here tonight. So as we look at the Epiphany of Jesus Christ, may we learn tonight that God's people know their Savior King. They seek him out for the hope that he brings. And they devote their lives to service in his kingdom. The well-known song goes something like this. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Of course, church tradition tells us quite a bit about these wise men, these magi. We're told that there are three of them, no doubt because of the three gifts that they bring, though many more individuals could have brought the three gifts that they present before Jesus. We're also given names and origins for these three individuals who come to Jesus. Melchior, the very first of them, is said to be a Persian. Caspar supposedly hails from India. And Melchior, or Balthazar rather, is from Arabia. Their gifts also tell us a lot. Gold, a gift that is to be presented to the King of Kings himself. Incense takes us to the temple of God, where it is regularly burnt and sent up into the heavens. This child is divinity himself, God clothed in flesh. And of course, that myrrh mixed into wine will touch his lips later in life as he hangs on that cross, paying the full and terrible price for your sins and for mine. And yet, as we contemplate all of that, were there three? But we don't know. Was that really the names of the three of them that came? Maybe. Were they from those locations? Who knows? Did they even have a clear understanding of the gifts that they presented in front of Jesus, or were these just costly things that you would bring to someone that you were showing respect and honor to, like a newborn king, as they had heard he was? Maybe. Some would even cast dispersions on the faith of these three individuals that stand before Jesus, wondering out loud if they had really come for the King of all creation or simply a king. Personally, I don't see any reason to question their faith, especially when there really isn't much of any proof presented to us that would cast any doubt on any of it. But then what do we really know? Well, simply what the scriptures tell us. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." How did they know? How did they know that star that they saw that evening was the star of this newborn king who they were supposed to come to? Well, we have some guesses at least at that one. After all, Daniel and all of Judah with him had been deported into Babylon in the east, where they had no doubt talked about the prophecies that God had given. No doubt, as Babylon swept through Jerusalem and carried off the things of the temple as loot, scrolls and the many different books of the Bible that had been written at that time were carried off with them, studied by their scholars. And as they read the Word of God, it happened. They came to a knowledge of this promised Christ, this Messiah who was to come. And they learned that a star would mark his birth. And so our magi from the east, advisors of a king perhaps, but probably not kings themselves, come. What does this teach us about God? After all, God's word clearly tells us everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. What we learn is simply this: God's word and his message are a wonderful treasure given to his people. A treasure that tells us of what he has done or will do in this case for us, and can bring even these Gentiles from the far-flung corners of the world to Bethlehem to worship this king. Moved by this word, they bow down and honor him, respect him, acknowledge him as the promised Messiah, the Christ that they have seen recorded there. But what does this say to us, to people living in our world today? Remember what we read there. This was given for your hope. As we see these Gentiles coming to Jesus, this is for us and for our salvation. Those gifts that these magi bring may not have been absolutely clear to them, but it's clear to us. This is the King of Kings, the gold. And he is God made flesh, divinity presented to us in human form, just like us in every way, but perfect as well. The incense. It's all there in that toddler who is bouncing around Bethlehem as the wise men approach. And he's going to grow in wisdom and in stature. Until that time when we finally see the fulfillment of the prophecies, when he is pierced for us and for our transgressions, nails through hands and feet. When that myrrh mixed with the wine touches his lips as he suffers for us, for our salvation. But it won't end there. In this child's resurrection, you and I have everything that we have ever hoped for. We have the promise that heaven is ours, that a time will come when the trials and tribulations of this world will be gone forever. And our sin, and all the times that we have found ourselves acting more like Herod than the Magi, evaporate in the perfection that Christ has won for us and secures for us even now, as he reigns over all of it. The right hand of God in heaven. This is our hope, dear friends, because this is our salvation. It is our forgiveness. It's the reason that God's people will always seek after him. For this hope that he gives to us, God's people know their Savior King. But it's not an empty knowledge, is it? It's a knowledge that as we watch these wise men in action, translates into everyday life. And we see them willing to do it. Lay down even their lives in service to this King. And not only leaving their stations and making the arduous travel, the trek all the way to Bethlehem to see him, but then even being willing to obey the king's order because the angels tell them differently. Willing to sneak across the desert, knowing full well that if they are caught, Herod's anger will burn against them. And it's all because they know who this child is and what he will do. And so they serve him exactly the way that God asks them to. The Apostle Paul will later write these words. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. When the Savior King speaks, his people will listen. We'll listen in our everyday lives. We'll be able to present ourselves to him as our spiritual act of worship, exactly as Paul says. So we do it. We seek him and his word out. Regardless of the circumstances that surround us, we crave to hear this message on a weekly basis, whether it is in person here in church or if we must, online as well. Because we know the importance of this word and the hope that it brings. We pass it down from generation to generation. Parents teaching it to their children, making it a priority in their everyday lives, that children see the importance of this word in the hearts and the minds, in the actions and the words of mom and dad. We live it amongst our friends and our family members, not ashamed to talk about the hope that belongs to us and belongs to them, all people, because of what this Savior has done. Yes, this is the concept of Christian vocation that transforms everything that we think and say and do into an offering for our Lord. There is a lot more here in these 12 verses that sit in front of us. But there just isn't enough time to get to every single nook and cranny this evening. Thanks be to God that we have a whole week to dwell on the words that He has set before us tonight. Yes, God's people know their Savior King. And so they seek Him and the hope that He alone can bring. And then, in their everyday lives, by His grace, they seek to serve Him, devoting themselves to Him. No aspirations of greatness, no hope or pride of prestige, just love, just joy, just appreciation for everything that this King has done. Amen. Please stand. And now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, may it guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.